Ah, man, here we go again. Up early, feed the dog, out the door, traffic, at the office, boss in some kind of mood today, no time for lunch, annoying coworker, no time to relax, bedtime. Then we gotta do it all again? No way. Because the best way to break up the mundane every day is to play at Wild Rose Casino and Resort. Slots, tables, sports, and a whole lot of perks when you join and play with your club wildcard. So, let's play Wild Rose Casino and Resort, Clinton.
Fanatic.com brought to you by Patrick Eads and the staff at Deary Brothers Ford on Mormon Trek. Steve Anderson, Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Mike's E-Keys for Cars. Tavern Blue on the Coralville Strip. GT Carr and his great crew at Supple's Building and Remodeling. Supple's Flowers, the home of 1-800-800-ROSE. The Midtown Family Restaurants. Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, 101 South Dubuque Street, downtown Iowa City. Diamond Dreams Sports Academy. Premier Automotive in North Liberty. The Oxyoke Inn in the Amanas. Streets Maintenance. And Dr. Lance Forbes, Diamond Dental in Cedar Rapids. Wandering around the building, it's Pat Hardy from HawkFanatic.com. There he is. And Tom Suda.
Yes. Monday morning, what are you going to do? Right?
Just wandering around.
Am I supposed to say something?
You say anything.
I can't hear you.
Oh, you can. How about now?
Yeah, I can.
Yeah. Just twist a knob and there he is.
That was a close one.
It was dead silence and then there Steve is. Technology.
Take it away, Captain.
Yeah. My car yells at me when I switch lanes without signaling.
I like that. So now will it also tell you if somebody gets up too close to you? Is it one of those?
I don't know. It hasn't happened.
Most of the rental cars I get now have all that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
I never got yelled at.
I get it. Sometimes it's annoying, you know, if you're in the wrong lane. It's like the car's arguing with you.
Yeah.
I don't want to do that. Leave me alone.
Yeah, that's the way that's the way
I... You're telling me what to do.
Means the car is smarter than you guys.
Well, I don't like
it's like
that
what
attitude.
My mom used to do with my... Because my mom didn't drive much, but man, she'd do a lot of... Ooh, you know, she'd do a lot of, and drive my dad nuts.
Jan holds on to the door handle.
For like it's dear life, right?
Yeah, like it's going to save her. And I always say, you know, if I hit something, that ain't going to save you.
No, it really isn't. But at least she feels she's doing something, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, let's see. As far Hawk-wise, I believe we're going to have, Matt Weitzel got back to me last night. Iowa had three champions, and this Mike Stein, his is interesting. I mean, the javelin, that's not even offered here in Iowa. It's not a high school sport. So I'm going to be
interested. Where is he from?
He's from Milford, Okoboji. So, yeah, he was a former pitcher. I looked him up. He was a good pitcher in high school. So, obviously, he's got a strong arm. But, I mean, it's just – and the fact that he's this good, this fast – it's pretty impressive. I mean,
he's the Big Ten javelin champion.
Yeah, he's a big, and he set the Iowa record. He's only a sophomore.
Wow.
Here we go.
And here's some breaking news.
Wow, Tommy Lang.
Oh, Larissa Libby has resigned from her position effective Friday, May 10th.
Wow.
So, this past Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's that.
What the hell happened?
Well, she was getting some heat.
Do you want me to read her statement?
Yeah.
My time in Iowa has been a tremendous journey filled with amazing people, immense growth, and incredible firsts. Joining this athletic department under Dr. Christine Grant as a young coach was one of the best decisions I have made and one that essentially shaped the course of my career. I am very proud of all of our accomplishments, both in the classroom and in the competitive arena. I am grateful for the amazing Iowa community and the many people who dedicated themselves to supporting the team. I will never forget the many young women and coaches who have journeyed through our program and are now out in the world contributing to society at the highest level. Leaving behind all the wonderful coaches in all different sports who mentored, encouraged, and inspired me throughout my years at Iowa will be the hardest part of saying goodbye. I will miss your friendship and unconditional support, but I look forward to the future and bringing all I have learned to whatever new opportunities lie ahead.
So now, were there some allegations of...
Well, I mean, I'm not really comfortable. I mean, Captain, you've heard. I'm not sure what's going on. I don't know. I mean...
I really haven't heard. I mean, there were some people. I heard some people on the team.
But I really haven't heard anything. I just think people assume it because it's happening.
I haven't seen anything official.
I haven't, but I think some people just make the assumption because that's kind of how we are as people, but also because it seems to be happening so abruptly, you know, but I don't know. I mean.
Yeah, we're just, what I heard is there were people on the team that thought that it was heavy-handed.
Abuse.
Abuse.
Yeah. You mean that she was too rough on them?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. We've seen this before.
Yeah.
We have,
you know, and there's, yeah. I'm like I said, I'm not taking sides on something like this. All I know is
she was always good with us.
To compare a radio station with her student athletes is a little stretch, even for us.
It's not like my car that's yelling at me.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think, you know, Larissa Libby's not going to come in here and bully you guys. No, I'm not suggesting that's what she's. We don't know.
We don't know.
But she does seem to be leaving, maybe not on her terms. Can we?
It would appear
to be that, but. Who knows? I mean, that's something that's probably will never be discussed publicly.
But that'd be great if a coach just came in and started bullying us.
Which coach would you want it to be?
Brands.
He like throws you through the window.
Yeah. And he would.
Yeah.
Would he take on Mo?
No.
So if you knew he was coming out to bully,
I'd have to get Mo.
You'd have Mo in here, right?
Yeah.
That would be interesting to see both the brands' voice confronted by Mo. Who are you taking, Shooter?
Mo.
And would Wopsy would be there to help Mo?
Wopsy would try. Yes, she would.
She'd be there,
an edge.
But she'd have even a bigger edge if she knew Mo was fighting on her side, too,
just
right?
That's true.
Kind of like Shaq's teammates in the NBA. But, yeah, the track team finished runner-up, the men. I believe it's the fifth consecutive since 2019 that they finished third or higher at the Big Ten meet.
That's terrific.
Yeah, he's got the men's program. And the women finished seventh, which isn't horrible. They've been higher before, though, but he's got this track program, especially the men, as good as I can remember it being for quite some time. Yep. And the fact they've been able to sustain. So I thought it was Kat Moody also won discus title, but we've had her on the radio before. We've never had Mike Stein on, so I figured, and then they won a relay team. I figured it would be just interesting to have this kid on just to see how, like, what encouraged him and to throw the javelin. I mean, that's just, where does that come from? You really wonder about that, don't you? And like, the first time he threw it, did he, like, wow, this is easy. I'm going to be really good. Because, like I said, he grew up in Iowa, and it's not a high school sport.
So do you suppose the coach just said, hey, we need somebody to throw the javelin?
Who wants to try? But what coach would have said that to him, though, because it's not a high school event. I mean, he was throwing the javelin before he got to Iowa, I would assume, because that's probably why Iowa, I don't know, there's club sports and there's different levels of competition.
Sure.
It's not a sanctioned high school sport in Iowa, but neither is field hockey. You know, I mean, and, you know, they have great field hockey players, too. But, yeah, no, this kid's from Milford Okoboji. So, and yeah, they said we'd have him on from, like, 9:45 to 10. And, see, I think they're not in school right now either. So, it's easier since finals were last week. So, good showing by the men at second place. And then Iowa baseball, I watched it. It was on TV. Did you watch it?
I didn't. I've kind of followed online a little bit.
Like Rick said, they let one get away, but Marcus started, and, man, he was just walking.
Didn't have it, did he?
Well, he was just walking a tightrope from the very beginning. Free bases, wild pitches, deep counts, hit a batter or two. He got out of the first two innings, but it still didn't feel good, and then he gave up three home runs in the third because he was so worried, I think, about control that he just grooved. He grooved just right over the plate, and these guys hit a lot of home runs, and they smacked him, and it was unfortunate. I mean, he didn't get out of the third. Then Anthony Watts came in and gave him 3.5 good innings. They stayed within striking distance, but they couldn't score, and they got beat 6-3.
Well, missing their two of their best hitters.
They're Big Ten play, they're done at 14-10. They're in the tournament. I mean, and what's crazy is, well, no, I think now they're actually – I think Illinois have 6 or 7 losses?
Going into the weekend, I think
– they had 5. I think they have 6. So I think Iowa's now mathematically out of
– I think so.
But they're going to be in the tournament. I mean, there's like 6 teams that were within 2 games of each other yesterday. But, see, Iowa's done now in Big Ten play. these other teams all have their last week because, you know, every team has a week where they don't play Big Ten. Iowa just happened to be the last week, so they can't improve or worsen their record. So they're 14-10. It is what it is. It'll get them in the tournament. And but yeah, you would like to have seen them win that series, but they just couldn't get it done.
No, but that I would say regular season maybe a little less than
They were picked to win it. Yeah, without question, it was less. And I think they would admit to that, and. They've had injuries. I mean, they. But even before the injuries to Huxdorf and Sam Peterson, they were sort of underachieving. I mean, it just hasn't really all just come together like we thought it would. And partly due to that is pitching. I mean, Brody has been great this last half of the season. First half,
he really has been.
Yeah, this last incredible. Half, he's been as good as a pitcher in the country. First half, not so much. Whereas Marcus has had one really good Big Ten outing. The others have been a struggle. He's just throwing way too many pitches, getting too deep into batter friendly counts, meaning the 3-1s, a lot of 2-0s. I mean, you start off 2-0, man, it's already tough enough, but you do that, the hitter knows, well, he's going to have to groove one of these.
Yeah.
And it's either going to be that slider or it's going to be his fastball, and I'll be ready for it. And those Illinois guys were, and that's what happens when you fall behind batters. And you could just sense the frustration in Rick's voice. They interview the coaches during the games, which is. I hate it even more like in the NBA. They get these NBA players like in between quarters. You think they want to go on TV? Some of them look like it's just painful for them. The best, though, remember when Popovich used to do it? They don't get televised much anymore because they're not very good, but he would be really mean to everybody who they interview. Sort of mean. There are times where they'd ask him yes and no questions, hoping for an answer. He would answer yes and no. He did one of those sideline things. It was two yeses and a no, and then he left. And the reporter was just stunned.
I know what that's like.
Yeah, your Minnesota baseball yes. coach who won yesterday. He's retiring.
Yeah.
And they still mathematically have a chance. I think they're 9-12 in the Big Ten or 10 something like that. And but yeah, he's retiring, and they just retired his number yesterday, and they did a big, huge documentary on him. And I was thinking of you. I mean, you can tell he's a pretty quiet guy. You can just tell that. But you know, obviously, when you're putting him on TV, they interviewed his wife. They interviewed a lot of people about him as much as they interviewed him. He doesn't seem like he's real comfortable talking about himself.
Yeah.
But I know he's been a big influence on Rick Heller. Heller even said in this, he was interviewed in the thing I saw about when he first got into coaching.
Well, he's been there over 30 years.
I think he joined the program as a player in the late 70s. I think he's like my brother's age. And then I think he started coaching there when I was a senior in high school, and I'm 60. Think about that. He's like he's the Big Ten baseball version of you in a lot of ways, Captain. He's kind of like you.
Almost.
He's just been on the field. You've been in a radio booth.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is it. He's retiring after this year. I don't know if they've announced his replacement, if they're just promoting somebody. I don't know what I'm going to have to look that up. I'm not sure what the circumstances are. But
memories of the interview always bring a smile to my face.
Then Iowa plays Florida International this coming weekend. May go down for one of them. A lot will depend on what's going on here. You're going to go down there?
I don't know. We haven't talked about it.
Make Des Moines. There are plenty of places to
go. Oh, down in Des Moines? No.
Yeah, go to Des Moines. I'm going to still call it Sec Taylor. You could hit Prairie Meadows. You could make Des Moines your home for a good 24 hours, you and Ann.
I don't believe that we'll make it.
Wow, not interested.
No.
Turning down my hometown.
Wow.
He's too good.
I've spent a fair amount of time with Amy at Drake.
Are you kind of saying Des Moines my ass? Is that in
okay.
a way?
Okay. Whatever.
Not a big fan of Des Moines?
It's okay.
It's okay.
I don't remember what newspaper, but it came over my feed yesterday, and then they had to retract it, that they said Jerry Seinfeld got booed.
At Drake?
At Drake.
Well, it was all over Twitter. It was Duke, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Duke.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then they had to retract it.
I don't remember.
He's a billionaire, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think he can.
I think he makes $100 million a year from residuals.
Yeah.
And he doesn't. He hasn't really done much since Seinfeld, has he?
We don't have to.
You know, he doesn't
stand up, and he did a movie.
Yeah, but it's not like, you know, he's not. Yeah, but he's kind of doing things on his terms.
I think he's kind of trying to get back into the limelight, if you will.
Yeah.
But he certainly doesn't need the money.
No. Yeah. I never did watch that show, but I've watched a couple. I've watched it a few times, I should say.
I liked it.
You know, I missed the start of it when we were on the road. So then by the time we came off the road, it was still on, but it didn't mean anything to me.
So did it start in like the mid-80s?
It started in 89.
Okay. Oh, wow. That late?
Yeah.
So I missed the first couple years.
Still think about that. That late, 35 years ago.
Yeah.
What do you think it's worth?
$1.2 billion.
I'm going to say $750
million. All it says here is more than $1
billion. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but that could be 1.00000, or it could be 1.
And his real estate portfolio adds an additional $40 million.
So we're roughly to believe he's roughly worth around $1 billion.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Billion.
Well, as I said, he gets $100 million a year in residuals.
Yes, he does that. No, they're all taken care of. He made sure that they were all taken. Taken care of as if. That's where got his money.
Is it?
Bannon invested in that show.
I believe Julia Dreyfus came from money to begin with.
Yeah.
I think I read that her family was extremely wealthy.
Well, she's good.
Yeah.
Good actress.
She seems to be. I mean, didn't she have some other, the old new Christine or something like that?
Yeah, she had a few. Well, and she got.
And then she was on Veep.
Veep on HBO. Okay. She got some awards for that. And. No, she's good.
She is very good.
Yeah. And then Hawkwives, basketball. Have you seen any updates on?
Just that kid supposedly got in last night. What's his name? The
Shador Traor?
Traor.
Traor's the last name. He played at Manhattan last year. Yeah, I was told yesterday by someone who would know that when I texted this person, I was told by this person that he was arriving later in the day.
That's right.
Because he'll be here today. You don't want to. You want the visit to be when business hours. You want him to see.
Oh sure.
Yeah, Sunday visit. You know, get in on Sunday, visit today. I mean, he's a 6'7" kid who played at Manhattan. I mean, they need another body, and is he?
Very athletic from the clips I've seen. Not a great shooter.
No, he's a 26% three-point shooter, but they're getting him for girth inside. My guess is they'd love him to be a few inches taller, but if he was a few inches taller, he probably wouldn't be available. But we'll see. They need another piece. They didn't get Frost, so they've moved on to this kid, and we'll see what happens. But, yeah, I think it's like Shador. The last name is T-R-A-O-R-E, Traor. And then
that's how I would pronounce it, yeah.
So, and we'll see. I mean, Fran said on here that he wanted another frontline player, and the two have emerged since he said that, Cross and this kid.
So, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. There's a gal from Arkansas.
Arkansas, yeah. How does she pronounce her last name? Her name's escaping me right now.
Mine too.
Rob and Bonenkamp talked about her in detail on the Thursday podcast last week.
But Lisa's interested.
Reached out. Yes, yeah. Iowa has reached out, and that's another one. And I believe Arizona is a big player too. Is the other school that I've heard she's really interested in. So I have not heard anything. Now I didn't really spend much time looking this week, but I haven't heard anything about official visit or anything.
No, I haven't either.
And so we'll see. I mean, Iowa has shown interest in.
I mean, Rob would know certainly more.
Yeah, and like I said, that would have been on the Hawkeye Hotspot podcast. It's usually Rob and Scott Docterman, but Scott was on vacation, so John Bonenkamp filled in, and I know that was one of the subjects they addressed last Thursday. You can find that on Hawk Fanatic. You can find it on Hawk Fanatic.
There you go,
Hawk Fanatic.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Hawks fanatics.
Hawks fanatics. Plurals.
Hey, we haven't heard the menus today, so we have that to look forward to.
He can't call in. Captain's ruled the show off limits.
Yeah.
He has to wait till 11 or whatever.
For the Molly Suter show today?
Well, I think it's funny. He can't call in then either, but we're doing police reports today.
So he can basically call in when it's you and Lang.
Yeah. And Hunter.
What do you think of that?
But you and I, we don't rate.
No, one time he was really mean on the radio. He was. You were mean to Lang when he called in at the time and he did something and I was listening to you.
Have I been mean to anybody?
17 minutes ago? No, I'm just kidding. But no, I was listening. You were pissed that day. He had called in and I can't remember what it was about and then you just went off. You were feisty that day. He had got. You could tell he had gotten under your skin. Because well, he wasn't following your. You called it an eat it.
Yeah.
Sure, like, that's an important bunker. Call.
Eat it, bunker.
Hello.
Well, I don't know how important it is, but I think the name you're thinking of is Maryam Dada.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah. Maryam. Maryam. Uh-huh. Yep. Yeah. From Arkansas. 6'4" center from Arkansas.
Yep.
Yeah. And I feel sorry for Libby, Larissa, because I knew her real well. I did hear some things, but being a coach is really rough. You get these. Some of these athletes in there that think they're God's gift to the world, and you might have problems. So I just feel sorry for her because I knew her real well and I liked her very much.
Yep, it's a tough job.
I know.
It really is.
Being a teacher was tough. There were kids you wanted to just wipe out.
And you just can't.
No, and you just can't.
No, that's true.
Anyway, you guys have a good day.
Thank you. Yeah.
Right.
Maryam Dada, so we'll see.
Did you interpret wipe out as kill?
However you want to.
That's kind of how I looked at
however
it.
However you want to phrase it.
I wonder if any of my teachers ever thought about killing me.
Yes.
Probably did.
And mine, me.
I'm sure they probably did. But here, let's see. The University of Iowa track and field program. Sophomore Mike Stein headlined the Hawkeyes with a championship and school record in the men's javelin. Stein threw 81.19 meters, 266 feet and 4 inches. Good for the second-ranked throw in NCAA Division I this season.
Wow.
And a meet record at the Big Ten Outdoor Championship. The mark qualifies the Milford, Iowa native for the U.S. Olympic trials.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
You know what he said? It is unreal. That's what Mike Stein said. I'm guessing by the time he comes on here, you think he'll realize that it's all real.
I think he'll have a handle on it.
What he did, no, that's incredible.
It is.
I like bringing light to some of these Olympic sports that don't get as much attention too. But I mean, to do that and to be ranked that high and for the team to finish second, that's a nice accomplishment. You know, something. We're gonna have Beth on here, you know, a week from this coming Friday, and. Obviously, you guys realize she's limited in what she can. It's not like, hey, what's going on with Libby? You know, we can't.
Oh, well, of course.
Yeah.
I would expect
we're not, you know, Mike Wallace on 60 Minutes.
No. I would expect no information on that front.
They can't. No. Yeah, we don't need a Mike Wallace. But no, I'm going to NIL. Well, I mean, there's a delicate way to ask her. How frustrated it was to host the Big Ten softball tournament and not be in it. Don't you think that's a fair question?
Oh, absolutely.
I don't, you know, and she's not going to rip the coaches, but I want to talk to her a lot, though, like I've said, though, about NIL. And I want to get maybe some update on the Podolak replacement. Have you heard anything?
Nothing.
Nothing in it, but you haven't really been to any, like, functions, have you?
Where No.
That's where a lot of that talk happens.
Exactly.
When you got a bunch of donors together, because sometimes a lot of donors find out things before the media does.
Sure.
And I have not heard anything. I mean, I wrote my thing thinking that if he was available and they could make it work, that Anthony Heron would be, I think, the best choice. But, you know, we'll see. I mean, you know, some other names have been mentioned. But I do think people don't realize how tough that job is. Just because somebody was your favorite Iowa football player and they were great, that won't make them.
That doesn't mean squat. Nope.
If to me, you either have it or you don't in a lot of ways. And Anthony is so schooled. He's so seasoned and experienced. I think he would be.
Well, everybody loved Magic Johnson, remember?
Well, yeah, but until he did his show.
Until he did that TV show.
The Magic Hour.
Yeah.
I watched that thing like one time, and I'm like, God, this is just painful. Why is he doing this? He didn't need the money.
Well, no. It's the same thing. Chevy Chase was funny on Saturday Night Live. And
most of the time, but he wore on me at times.
Well, when they put him in that on that late night show.
What was that? He did his own talk show?
He did his own talk show for like a month.
I don't even remember.
It was horrible.
It was, yeah, it was.
No, what'd they call it?
Huh?
Chevy?
Chevy Chase.
Just Chevy Chase? The Chevy Chase Hour?
And then he was on a sitcom. It was called Community or something
like Community.
That.
Was that good?
Pretty good.
I never watched.
I did watch it.
I thought he was okay on Weekend Update. I mean, he was one of the first Weekend Update guys.
He was okay.
The first.
Yeah, the first.
But
they gave him this variety.
But I always thought Aykroyd was funnier.
It was terrible.
Remember when Aykroyd said, "Jane, you ignorant slut, who did you sleep with to get this job?" That's one of my favorite. You remember that line, Shooter?
Yes, I do.
That's just one of my favorite lines of all time.
I think the guy's doing it now, Michael Yost and
I think they're good.
Or
Michael Che.
But Aykroyd and Jane
Colin
Curtin.
Colin Jost.
Jane Curtin was funny.
Yeah.
I thought she was underrated. I thought she was pretty funny. Yeah.
She was great in Third Rock from the Sun.
I've seen that. I thought Aykroyd was underrated. Yeah. I think Aykroyd sometimes got overshadowed just by Belushi's crazy
nonsense.
Well, yeah, if you want to.
Well, it was amazing to me. He married Donna Dixon. They're still married.
Yeah. Dan Aykroyd?
Yeah.
Okay, I did
Dan
not
Aykroyd.
Realize that.
Oh, jeez.
But didn't it seem like Aykroyd sometimes got overshadowed by just everything going around Belushi?
Yeah.
But
Belushi's personality was so big, and it was oversized. But
most of his movies, other than Animal House, I didn't mind Continental Divide. I thought
it was decent.
But like Blues Brothers, I hated that movie.
I didn't get it.
I just. Some of the music I liked, but the movie.
Oh, I got it.
The music. The
I
music
just,
was,
no, I didn't get how it was such a big hit. Is it just because it was Belushi and Aykroyd?
And
of course,
so.
Aretha.
But, I mean, Continental Divide, he was getting absolutely rave reviews from critics, and it did well at the box office, and he was a really good actor.
Yeah. Did you see him in Neighbors?
Huh?
Did you see him in Neighbors?
I saw a little bit.
I don't know
it.
That I saw Neighbors.
It wasn't good. It just wasn't good.
No, it wasn't good.
1942 wasn't good.
No, that was bad.
No.
I mean, Animal House, of course, you're never gonna top that. Yeah. But no, Blues Brothers, I'm like, the other day I gave it like a half an hour again, and it just, I'm like, I can't, it's just doesn't do it for me.
I think, for me, I liked it a lot just because of the music.
Yeah, the music.
Well, and I get it. More people,
yeah,
I like most of the music. Yeah, I love the scene where, you know, what guitar joins the band, in the restaurant and basically tells Aretha I'm going. That I love that scene, but just after a while, they were on a mission from God.
It's kind of contrived, and it just didn't.
But didn't it do great at the box office?
Yes. Yeah, it does great when it plays on TV. And
that was, I think, 2 years before he died. That came out in 80, and Animal House came out in 78, I believe. I believe that was the case.
I was on radio both when he died and Elvis died, and I was on in the afternoon for some reason.
He died 5 years after Elvis. Yeah. 77 and 82, I believe.
Yeah. I was going to say Elvis was 77.
And Belushi was March of 82, I believe. I was a senior. I was still in high school when he died. I remember a lot of people my age, but people a couple years older than me, a lot of people were sad that day. I remember that day in school. Like, man, people were stunned when Belushi died. He'd made a lot of people be my age and a little older laugh. Yeah. I mean, he did. I didn't think all his stuff was funny. I mean, Samurai got old after a while. I didn't think the Samurai was funny at all. It got old after a while. Yeah. After a while,
I didn't think that was funny.
I thought, did you like it when Buck Henry was his customer?
Yeah.
Remember Buck Henry?
Yeah.
Remember with the babysitter? I don't know if you could do that now, could you?
No.
But they did. They did it with pride back then.
No, there's a lot of there's a lot of good stuff back then. But there's it's like music. There's a lot of bad stuff that they did too.
And a lot of it's dated.
Yeah, a lot of it is. I'll tell you what though. I watched Archie Bunker the episode where they did the swastika on the front door. That just happened to be on yesterday. I watched it. God, was it funny? I'd seen it many times before, but I forgot how funny it was. I mean, Carol O'Connor is just hilarious.
He had that character down.
And it was nothing like him. That's right. What's so... like I told you the guys this story before, the first time I ever saw Carol O'Connor as Carol O'Connor, they had him interviewed on like one of those, And I was probably only 8 or 9 years old. I was confused. I'm like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And my dad's like, well, that's the actor in him. And he explained it. And I was really young because that came out in like 72, didn't it? 71?
Yes.
I was 6, 7 years old, and I had only seen Archie, and then to see him this soft-spoken, it was just, I was mesmerized by that. And that's when my dad told me that he was one of the best actors around and told me some other movies that he has been in and said he's just a great all-around actor. Yeah. He did a lot of those Army war movies in the 50s and 60s, too. I didn't realize that. So, all right, now back to the Hawks.
Back to the Hawks.
It's May.
Yeah, it's May.
It was hot yesterday.
off the Hawks again already.
It was hot yesterday. That's weren't you? I mean, I it was so hot yesterday. I didn't mow the yard, but now
how hot was it?
God, I think when I looked, it was 84.
Yeah, it was.
I turned my air on. I thought of you. I have my air on right now.
Yeah, my house got my air on too.
My house. I looked. It was 81 degrees in my house.
No,
that's too hot.
It was 83, and yeah.
Is this rain leaving? Are we done for the day?
It's
hopefully it dries. No. I gotta mow my yard.
According to this, it's not.
So we're gonna have more because I mean I should have mowed yesterday.
Because it probably looks like a hayfield.
Well, I mowed the last time I mowed was Thursday. It's not like I.
Oh.
But I can't believe how much it's grown from Saturday morning to this morning. I looked out there today. I'm like, oh, I should have mowed yesterday.
Hello.
My fault.
You know, I'm hearing now that Peyton might be an early second round pick. Do you think he?
I've heard. I mean, well, some guy. Well, I wrote the other day that I'm not. I assumed he would, but now I'm not. No longer assuming. Some guy responded to the thing I wrote, saying that he's seen multiple mock drafts where he's going late in the first round. I have not seen that.
No,
I've seen second round high, and he has definitely helped his cause since he started working out for teams. He definitely has. I know that.
Okay. All right. Go Hawks.
Yeah, go Hawks.
I would be very surprised first round, not second round. But when he first entered, I would have been very surprised second round.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the thing with Peyton, it's going to come down to if he trusts what a team tells him. I mean, and is he willing to risk what could be a very fun senior year at Iowa? Academics, my guess is he's done. He's all academic. That's not a concern. It's going to come down to, does he trust what the NBA people are telling? Yep, if you're there in the high second round, we're taking you. It's not guaranteed money. Or does he weigh that against a chance to be with his buddies and be a Hawk for one more year?
And be with his brother, too.
I mean, if they were telling him, and his brother, too. If they were telling him that he was going to be a first round, he'd be gone. I mean,
absolutely. And should be.
And if they're telling him that they're pretty guaranteed he'll go early in the second round, he's going to give serious thought to that.
And I've heard that it's supposedly a weak draft this year.
Very weak. Yeah, there's not much difference between 1 and 10 is what. And the NBA Combine's going on right now. It started yesterday in Chicago. So, yeah, I've read NBA experts say that's one of the weakest drafts that they can recall.
So do we think that the Combine will decide his fate probably?
Well, yeah, I think if he goes and plays well at the Combine, I think he's going to stay in the draft.
Yeah.
I think there's some people suggesting that if he can be guaranteed he's going to be going the second round, that he's going to try it. You know, so, but like
can't
I said,
blame him.
I can't either because, like
it's
I said,
a lot of money still.
Academically, I don't
if
think,
he makes it.
And I don't think he needs money. He's not, you know, it's not like he's got a family to feed or whatever. Like I said, he's been all academic, everything in his 3 years here. You know that whatever he's probably close to graduating or already had. I mean, academics will not be a concern to him because he's dealt with that. He's already taken that responsibility. But man, I'll tell you. Even if they get this kid from Manhattan, if they don't have Peyton next year, that's going to be a major hole.
Yes, it is. And we weren't all that last year. And we lost Tony Perkins,
and Peyton
Ben
was
Cricky.
And I thought Peyton was their best player last year.
And Pat McCaffrey.
I thought Peyton was their best.
I agree.
I mean, Tony was too up and down.
Yes. And same with Pat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Pat, too. But Peyton, the way he rebounded really impressed me. And the other thing that if Peyton was 6'4", 6'5", this wouldn't be happening. But he is a legitimate 6'7". And that's why.
He's a good rebounder.
And he's a good rebounder, and he's got an exceptionally quick release. He can shoot stationary threes. He can shoot threes off screens. He can create his own three-point shot. He can get in the lane. He can do a lot. And if a lot of it's just being in the right place at the right time fit-wise. And I would not be surprised if he's not back next year. Whereas when he first entered, I'm like, oh, you know, go and learn, see what they tell you need to work on and come back. But like I said, I keep seeing stuff saying he's really opened some eyes.
Should we take a quick break here?
Yeah, and then, because he's going to call. And usually they're pretty close. They said 9:45, so we'll see.
Good. All right, we'll be right back.
1-800-800-ROSE, your FTD florist, is the only number you need to know to send flowers anywhere in the country or Canada from anywhere in the country. 1-800-800-ROSE. It's so easy, just remember one number, 1-800-800-ROSE, your FTD florist. 1-800-800-ROSE. Remember...
For a gift that your loved one will treasure for a lifetime, find it at our family-owned jewelry store in Iowa City, Hertine and Stocker Jewelers.
We can show you diamond engagement rings, colored stones, fashion jewelry, and watches.
Our jewelers are on site, so we can design jewelry for that special person in your life.
We are Hertine and Stocker, serving Iowa City and the surrounding area for three generations.
Hertine and Stocker Jewelers, downtown Iowa City, and HertineandStockerJewelers.com. Ask for Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of us is always there.
Don't wait for an emergency to get a backup for your car keys. Unlike the olden days, car keys have gotten extremely complex. Mike's eKeys for Cars can generate the most technically advanced automotive keys that are on the market today. For spares and lost keys, Mike's eKeys for Cars can produce most conventional transponder, high security, and remote head keys. Mike's eKeys for Cars will keep you on the road. Call 319-330-9185 and schedule an appointment today. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 319-330-9185 today.
Are you tired of living in a home that doesn't quite meet your needs? Then it's time to call the experts at Streets Maintenance. Their team of skilled professionals specializes in renovations and remodeling, transforming your home into the space you've always dreamed of. From kitchen bath remodels to complete home renovations, no job is too big or too small. Streets Maintenance will work with you every step of the way to ensure your vision becomes a reality. So don't wait any longer. Call Streets Maintenance to schedule your consultation at 400-4483. Let's start building your dream home today.
Tavern Blue on the Coralville Strip offers the ultimate sizzle of wood-fired pizza perfection. Elevate your pizza game with over 20 wood-fired pizzas, ranging from the Tony Pepperoni, the Philly Cheese Steak Pizza, Mary Margarita, and the Tavern Supreme. From the freshest ingredients, Tavern Blue cooks their pizzas to mouth-watering perfection in their wood-fired oven, which helps bring out those old-world flavors. Fresh creative salads, tacos, burgers, signature cocktails, beer, and wine are just a taste of what Tavern Blue has to offer. Tavern Blue is a family-friendly establishment that offers mini golf, table games, darts, and foosball. Go to tavernblue.com for the latest news, events, and specials, along with full menu options. Once again, that's tavernblue.com.
There's a problem here in Eastern Iowa. There's not enough Hawkeye fans. I mean, really, shouldn't everybody be a Hawkeye fan? Well, maybe not, but you should be a fan of my team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement. Hi, I'm Steve Anderson, and my team of experts at Hawkeye Title and Settlement know what they're doing. Call us at 351-8600. Hawkeye Title and Settlement, the team you love, the people you trust.
Don't let just anyone take care of your smile. At Diamond Dental, you can expect compassion, expertise, and a personalized care plan to protect your teeth for life. With more than 30 years of combined experience, Dr. Forbes and his staff are prepared to tackle even your toughest dental problems, leaving your smile healthy and sparkling. Diamond Dental offers a full range of general and cosmetic dentistry, as well as dental treatment options for snoring and sleep apnea. It's never too early to start thinking about what's best for your smile. Schedule an appointment today by calling 319-390-3703 or visiting the office at 5815 Consul Street Northeast, Suite D1 in Cedar Rapids. You can also visit DiamondDentalPC.com for more information. Dr. Forbes is a proud sponsor of the Hawkeye Wrestling Club and the Inner Circle. Let the Diamond Dental team provide superior care for your entire family.
Mighty 1630 KCJJ.
All right, joining us now is Mike Stein, javelin champion of the Big Ten. And Mike, we were talking at the outset of this show, and one of the things that we were fascinated with is what made you pick up a javelin in the first place?
Yeah, so I was like a baseball pitcher. I'm from Okoboji, Iowa.
Yep.
There's no javelin in Iowa. So I was a pitcher, and I was working on just developing like velocity, you know, trying to throw harder. And I was way better on long toss. You know, I didn't have as good of control. You know, I'd hit people, my pitch and stuff, but like I could throw over the, you know, over the outfield wall from home plate. So I'm like, wow. I see javelin and on my like Instagram feed, I'm like, I just need to do that. Like, that's my sport. And I reached out to actually an Iowa State javelin thrower at the time, Scott Fuchs, and he got me started on it. And yeah.
So were you good from the, did it come easy for you?
Yeah. So the transition was like, it was kind of tough. Javelin's a little bit different, different feeling, like the aerodynamics with the flight and stuff. It's not just as simple as, you know, throwing a rock like you would in baseball, basically. So, but now that I've done the technical work, like, it pretty much does feel the same as throwing a baseball. So you kind of come full circle on it. And, you know, throwing is very similar.
I was going to ask, we often hear from, like, sprinters and shot putters, like, every technique and is so important. Like, if you make one little tiny mistake in the – is that how it is with the javelin? And when you're going – does everything just have to be just completely synchronized?
Yes, exactly, yeah. So your technique has to be that all has to time up perfectly. And that was really the difference between my not-as-good throws in the competition and my best throw from the last competition, is that my technique was all synchronized and the timing of the throw was perfect. And, you know, in javelin we have the big collision at the end of the throw, the block collision, mm-hmm. where we plant and throw. And you have to time that up with the approach speed, and it all has to come together. And then you got to get the aerodynamics with the javelin correctly. So, yeah, there's a lot of variables with the technique, and it's got to all come together for the best throw.
So, know that you've made the Olympic trials. How cool is that? I mean, that is the coolest thing I've ever heard. Are you excited about that?
Oh, yeah. I'm just blessed to have that opportunity. And, you know, I want to give all the glory to God for that opportunity. And a lot of things had to come together for that to happen. So, yeah, I'm really pumped for that. And it's going to be a great rest of the season.
I'm curious, have you seen any other, like, former baseball players, pitchers that have made a similar transition? Or do you think someone like you may open some eyes for some other guys, pitchers?
Yeah, so actually the guy who got me started throwing javelin, he used to be a baseball pitcher too. So that's kind of it's kind of a movement almost, where people who, you know, want to develop velocity might switch to throwing javelin instead. And the training is so similar between the two that, you know, it's a lot of people are starting to throw javelin more.
How important are the legs in a javelin toss?
Yeah, so with the legs, like, the approach momentum takes care of a lot of that. Whereas, like, when you're pitching, you have to kind of generate the force with the legs.
Sure.
But in javelin, you get the run-in and the approach speed. And then the legs kind of start the throwing sequence, so you can position yourself to hit the best throwing position with the upper body. But, so it's just about setting up the positions and using the collision from the plant leg to get the force through the javelin.
Okay. So we've talked to some sprinters and some long-distance runners, asking them how important diet is to what they do, and we've gotten some really interesting answers. So can you just let her rip, go to Domino's and McDonald's, or do you have a...
Yes. So I go back and forth on this. I eat mostly, like, pretty good at home, but I'd say... like mostly animal foods, like animal products. I'm eating a lot of beef, a lot of steak, you know, some sort of red meat every night. And a lot of people think that's not the best, but for an athlete, like that's what fuels you, you know, the protein and all the micronutrients. So I eat a lot of beef, a lot of eggs. I eat fruit. I drink a ton of milk. And then on the road, you know, I kind of let it rip a little more with beef meals. I go to McDonald's and stuff, even at home sometimes. You know, I had to go from 175 pounds last year to 195 pounds now, and you know, there's definitely some cheat meals there. You know, I go get a hamburger or whatever. So,
well, that's funny. Awesome. I when I saw the video of you setting the record, I hadn't seen you a picture of you since, and I'm like, wow. You could just tell how much bigger you've gotten. How much weight training do you do? Just lifting weights? How big is that part of your?
Yeah, so that's a huge part. Coach Roberts is my strength coach, mm-hmm. and he gets me right. We lifted 4 times a week in the most of the off season, and now it's tapered back just a little bit, but we're still, you know, maintaining our strength or building strength through the season. But I got a lot stronger, and that just made it so, like, you know, even my worst throws were better than my best throws last year, it feels like, because it's just so much easier and just so much more momentum and strength through the positions. And yeah, Coach Roberts and the strength program have played a huge part, and then likewise, the diet component with that is super important.
Okay, so without a high school sports team to performer. How did you show Iowa and others? I mean, how did you get discovered and did you get a chance to go? What did you compete in while you were in high school?
Yeah, so I was in baseball most of high school, mm-hmm. but when I started throwing javelins, that was kind of a tough decision to figure out how I'm going to get recruited. So I actually found a way to throw unattached, like in track you can compete for yourself.
Okay.
So I threw unattached in like small college meets. So I go to Central College, like in Pella, and I went to Mount Mercy twice my junior year. And I threw in these unattached meets, and I threw pretty well. I threw 59 meters, and I won those meets. And also, like, my Instagram presence probably helped a lot, too. I had a social media page that really helped. So
okay.
it really helped me get discovered. And, yeah, it's a blessing to be at Iowa.
So was Iowa one of the first schools to reach out to you? Were they one of the most I mean, obviously they had an advantage because you grew up in Iowa. I'm not assuming. Were they always something that was kind of special for you?
Yeah. I mean, Iowa was always pretty special. I got looked at by a few other schools, but I pretty much came on my visit here, and, you know, I'm like, all right, the recruiting process is over. Like, I'm going to be a Hawkeye. This place is way better than anywhere else.
And look at the improvement that you've made since you, I mean, just when you said 59, now you're throwing over 80. You got the second best throw. I mean, I don't want to jinx you or whatever, but obviously winning an NCAA outdoor title is your, I mean, you've got a great chance of that. What's the best way to just keep approaching that? The best way to keep preparing for that?
Yeah. So just really, something really clicked last meet with me was just like, I'm a very competitive person. I almost wanted to win too much for most of the meet, and, you know, I was too amped up and whatnot, but the technique, it only comes together when you're super relaxed, and I just had to relax and just trust the technique and trust my training, and that's really, once you have that feeling, and you just try to recreate that, that's, if you just keep recreating that same throw, you know, you're going to have a good shot.
And you guys finished second overall. I mean, that's very impressive. I think that's every year since 2019 now, Iowa has finished, the men have finished third or higher. The stability within the men's program, that's obviously something that impressed you too, in both programs, yeah, men and women.
Yeah. I mean, we have a great program. Coach Woody's doing amazing with that. And, you know, we brought on Coach Ray in the throw squad, and we've been building that up. And Kat Moody, she won the Big Ten title as well. And it's just been so great to see everybody improve who, you know, when I got here, I came in with them, and it's been great to see everybody just get better. And, There's no doubt in my mind that we have a good shot at winning a championship in the future.
So you said you had to relax a little bit to have, you know, your training kick in. So when you made your record throw, did you feel that it was going to be a great throw when you threw it?
Yeah, so I could. There's a feeling, you know, I feel like a big stretch almost in my chest, and if I get that feeling, I know it's a very powerful throw, but there's also another feeling where it comes out of the hand, and you can tell you got the right flight.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew I out of the hand I had it. And actually, I don't even remember a whole lot right away because one thing I didn't do technically well was my chest was up. So I was looking at the ground, so I didn't even really get to see the flight of the javelin. But I just knew it was good. And I looked back at the video. I was like yelling already. So yeah, I must have known that it was a good.
Yeah,
throw.
When they yelled off the time or the distance, you didn't seem that surprised. I mean, I think you were I think you were prepared for. Yeah, no, it was very impressive, and it is amazing though how one little thing when you do stuff like that can screw you. Just have to almost be perfect.
Yes, exactly. And that's where you know start chasing that feeling and relaxation, because that's when that perfect technique comes together, versus if you try too hard to fix one thing or another, and it might throw everything else off. So in the meet versus in practice, you know, it's more geared towards feeling versus in practice, you know, then you work on the subtleties of the technique.
Mm-hmm. I want to go back for a second to the throwing a baseball over the fence from home plate. I can't even imagine that. How rare is that?
Yeah, so I mean, I ran into it like a little bit. So that's where the javelin, that's how the javelin all started. But yeah, I would you know try to develop velocity, and I get a bucket of baseballs, and I'd throw from home plate into the left field parking lot, and they'd be sailing it pretty far into the parking lot. So yeah, that's just kind of how it all started.
Did you get your? Do you ever get your fastball clocked?
I was 85 miles per hour as a junior.
Okay,
I think now 195 pounds versus 165 pounds, all the training. It'd be curious to see how fast.
No, that would be interesting. I got to ask you, do you think Brody Breck would be a good javelin thrower?
I think he'd be a tremendous javelin thrower. He's got all the physical traits, and I know he's got the mindset to build technique and stuff. So, yeah, he's got a cannon, that's for sure.
He's such a great athlete, overall athlete, too. Yeah.
Well, Mike, this has been a lot of fun. I appreciate you coming on short notice.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys.
And we do have one last question for you. I mean, I don't know if anyone gave you a heads up. We had Kat Moody on last year after she had won. But we have one last question that Tom's going to ask you. And remember, we're a radio station. This is not a sports-related question.
Okay, yeah. Mike. So your phone rings, and on the phone is Beth Getz, athletic director at the University of Iowa. And she says, Mike, congratulations on your victory, but I need you to do something for me. I need you to hire a band, an act, or a singer to fill up Kinnick Stadium. Who is Mike Stein going to hire?
I'd say I like the Red Hot Chili Peppers. So that's my favorite band.
Oh, we haven't had anybody suggest them before, the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, okay, yeah.
They would get a heck of a crowd. I don't know if they'd fill it.
That's back in my day, I feel. Yeah, there you go. Good answer, Mike. We appreciate
that. Yeah, that's
great. That's what we listen to while we train.
Okay, well, great. Great to hear. Hey, good luck the rest of the way. We'll be pulling for you. Yes. Hopefully you'll bring home a NCAA title.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
All right, you bet.
All right,
thanks.
Good luck.
Yep, bye.
I was not expecting Red Hot Chili Peppers.
No.
And I like a few of their songs. Yeah. I mean, they were really big like in the early mid 90s, weren't
they?
Yeah. Like Californication.
They played some of the same clubs we did when we were out on the road. Grand Rapids.
They were together that long ago? No.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I guess they probably started late 80s, didn't
they're
they?
They're still doing it.
What's the kid's something? Flea. Anthony Kiedis. Isn't he the lead singer, Anthony Kiedis?
He's dating a 19-year-old.
What?
He's dating a 19-year-old?
Isn't he like my, isn't he my age?
Huh? There was a picture of him at a basketball game, and he's got a really bad dye job, and he's dating a 19-year-old girl.
Isn't he like my age?
Yeah, he's like 60.
Yeah.
He's not quite Rolling Stones, but he's getting there.
First of all, there's no 19-year-old girl out there that would want to date me, nor would I want to date a 19-year-old girl. Hey,
beautiful 19-year-old came up and said, Pat,
let's
go out to dinner, and then maybe we'll see what happens, see where it leads.
Yeah. 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 Cartoon.
Pat, your record collection sucks.
I was interested, but now I'm not.
No, what's this Pink Floyd nonsense?
What the hell are you watching this black and white television
Robert
show?
Johnson, who the hell is that? Yeah, I just, that's, what's the word you use? Oogie?
Oogie.
Oogie.
It's Oogie.
That's Oogie. I mean, what do they talk about? 19.
Maybe they don't.
What did I talk about at 19?
Yeah.
What do you talk about when you're 19?
Getting sex.
Yeah, part
drinking
of it.
Some.
Drinking, sex.
Yeah.
And figuring out ways to get money from your parents.
Playing video games.
Not me. I never did that.
Playing video games.
Yeah. Never wasted any time doing that. But to me, the 60-19 is almost more oogie than the 80-40. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, it is.
It really is.
It is.
I mean, at least when you're 40, you are in a, you know, you're someone. Well, you know what I mean. I mean, but 60 and 19, that's just.
Yeah.
Well, she was probably at one of their shows.
I'm sure. Yeah. My guess is she's hot and he's.
Oh, you think?
And I'm guessing he's. What's Anthony Kiedis worth? He's got to be worth at least $20 million, isn't he?
Doesn't he only come out every 17 years?
And it's actually both are coming out this year. Both are coming out this year. I just saw CNN did this. And they brought somebody in with a cicada, and the female reporter for CNN was petrified of it. She had to move to the other side. Every time the cicada would fly, she'd like freak out. I mean, it was a cicada. They don't attack yet.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wonder what he's. I mean, Red Hot Chili Peppers. They had a lot of hits, didn't they?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, a ton.
I'm guessing he's worth $50-60 million. Don't you think, Anthony? The lead singer?
I would guess close.
And I know they had some problems. They had some off the stage issues. Didn't one of their guys die? I think one of their members died. I thought. Isn't that right, Tommy?
A while ago, yeah.
Yeah. And remember that movie Point Break?
No.
With Patrick Swayze and Gary Busey? I think the members of that band were played some surfer dudes in that movie, if I remember correctly. And it came out like in the early 90s. But yeah, when did you stop?
He's 61.
So he's older than me.
Yeah.
So 61. 40, he was 42.
42 years
42
old.
When his honey was born.
He's worth $155 million.
Wow.
Wow.
I would never have thought that.
He must have written their songs.
He must have. Yeah, that's a lot.
And Flea is worth $160. No, it's a business.
But we're going to laugh, but both of them are worth half as much as Roger Waters.
Yeah.
Who's
but they were interviewed on 60 Minutes.
Who, the Chili Peppers?
Maybe, yeah.
They've had a lot of problems in their band. They've overcome a lot of stuff. But, yeah, I didn't think he'd be worth that much.
Wow.
But they had a definite, when you heard them, you knew right away it was Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, they had a sound.
A definite sound to them.
They have a
kinda
sound.
Kind of like Dire Straits. Wouldn't you say Dire Straits has
very much so.
Definite sound to them? It was interesting. One of those Twitter accounts, like Rock History, printed out posted its top 10 guitarists of all time, then asked who's missing and what have you. And the one, to me, obvious one was Terry Kath. I think if you're doing the, and it's all opinion, because I mentioned Roy Clark and someone made fun of me. And then somebody showed a video to this guy of Roy Clark playing a guitar in a rock song. And the guy said, wow, I never saw that on But yeah, there was a side of Roy. Roy Clark was incredible. He was incredible.
Glenn Campbell's a
great guitarist. Another one someone mentioned, Prince wasn't on this top 10 list either. I mean, Dave Grohl, the two that seemed to get the most criticism were, I thought Dave Grohl was a drummer.
He was it for Nirvana.
And now all of a sudden, they had him listed as, I wouldn't put Dave Grohl in top 10 all-time guitarists. That's just me.
I wouldn't either, but he's certainly...
Very talented musician.
Incredibly fortunate, but incredibly talented.
Yes, to be able to move from one position...
And
one
a great person.
I've heard that, too, that he's a very good person.
Gives...
I've heard that. Great person.
Yeah. No, I don't...
Have you ever tried to get him on?
No.
You should try sometime. He gets on. He's just mean to you guys.
He's
dismissive. He's like, hey, I'm Minnesota baseball coach part two. What do you got?
I'm not. If you can't even get the Cardinals on,
you're not getting Dave Grohl.
Considering it.
I still think you should try to get Roger Waters on. I think that would be a classic interview, don't you?
I wouldn't even know how to go about it.
I would have to excuse myself because I don't know enough about his music.
You wouldn't want to just... be there for him and Captain to fight and scream at each other?
I'm not fighting.
You would fight with Roger Waters. That would... right away, you'd piss him off.
Why does everybody want me to fight with...
Well, I want you to fight with Roger Waters, not just anyone.
Yeah.
I think that would be a great interview because you don't agree with him on anything.
He's crazy.
Well, that's what you can say to him
early.
Well,
I liked his music.
Set the tone.
I played Pink Floyd. I liked a lot of the stuff. I mean, I don't like... I don't like everything from everybody. You know, there's not like...
Well, I don't even know that. I mean, there's some songs by Led Zeppelin and... I'm sure there's some songs by the Beatles that you like.
Is a number of their songs.
But I mean, so I liked a lot of Pink Floyd and everything, but he's just crazy.
He's just angry.
Yeah, he's angry for no... And this is how you're going... I mean, he's in his 80s.
Yeah, I don't get it.
This is how you're going out.
I don't get
it. Just being... pissed off.
He just seems like he wants to really get under people's skin on all sides.
Just retired and enjoyed his money.
Played music and just shut up and just play your music. Now I sound like Laura Ingraham. Remember she told LeBron to just shut up and dribble?
Yeah.
Well, but with Roger Waters, some of the stuff he says, I think he does it just to get a rise.
Well, but I mean...
And at concerts, he shouldn't be talking politics at concerts.
No, you should play...
What people are paying to hear.
Yeah.
You know?
Especially when you pay that much money.
Well,
the Dixie Chicks or the Chicks are very political.
And they paid a price for it, didn't people? Yep. I mean, people hate them, don't they?
Some people do.
Yeah, I don't remember. Does the left or the right hate the Dixie Chicks?
MAGA
hates them?
Yes.
They weren't political till they made that one statement.
Wasn't that against George Bush?
No, yes, they were. Yes, they were.
They were before that?
Yes.
So they would say political stuff at their concerts?
Yes.
And see, I don't like that.
Okay,
no matter what side.
They said they were ashamed of being from Texas talking about George Bush.
Okay, but was that the first time they got political?
Or? That's the first time they got in trouble.
Okay.
For it.
Yeah, I just don't think people want to hear politics when you're going to a concert.
No, you want to hear the songs.
Want to hear music.
Yeah.
Now, if it was maybe Air Supply or Bread, maybe I would want to hear politics, you know?
Please give us your political opinion, please.
Yeah, what's your...
I'd like to ask Donald Trump, what do you think of Bread's diary?
I would like to get David Gates on here and say, okay, if you had, what act do you think would fill Kennedy? Because it ain't yours.
you think Trump likes Diary by Bread?
He doesn't listen to music.
He doesn't listen to music. He doesn't like dogs.
You know? I can't understand either of those.
Yeah, I don't get it either.
Yeah,
I don't know how you can't. First of all, I don't know how you can't like dogs, but take that out of it. I don't know how you can't listen to some kind of music. I mean,
well, he listens to the YMCA. It's on all the time. It is by the Village People.
Yeah,
they play a lot of music because you hear stories about. Then they.
But he doesn't really have anything to do with that.
Then the bands get pissed off.
Well, then the bands get pissed off because they're using their stuff without copyright permission.
Yeah,
I mean, a number of bands have done that. I mean, Tom Petty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and what have you? But all right, enough.
How you can't love music.
Yeah, both of those are just, that is just mysterious.
Some kind of music, you would think.
Some kind of music.
I mean, some people don't respond to it, though.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I'd be lost without music. I've managed to make it now 5 years without a dog, which I never thought I'd be able to do after having two of them for a combined 17 years. But, you know.
We got an appointment for Lily tomorrow at the vet.
Yeah, I took Wopsy in a couple weeks ago, and her teeth are great. Everything, he said, these numbers are just fantastic. Well,
she gets these damn allergies, and then her elbows get sore. You know, and it came about that she won't eat the skin-sensitive food anymore.
How old is Lily?
10 or 11.
How old is Wopsy?
We believe Wopsy is 12 or 13.
Okay. I mean, you guys have both had good runs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every day. I'm not saying every day at this point's gravy, but, you know.
Kind of.
No, she's...
For a bigger dog, I mean, Wopsy's, you know, 50 pounds. Well, so it's a good-sized dog.
Buddy was 60.
50 pounds. I laugh at 50 pounds.
Well, Lakota was about 80. Buddy was about 60. And one lived till he was 16. The other lived till he was 14.
That's really good.
Lily's 95.
The last year was bad, though. Buddy's last year and a half was bad. Lakota's last 3 months were, months were bad.
She's doing good at everything.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and Lakota's just happened like that. I mean, he went from walking with me in January and February. He couldn't use either leg.
I got those dog ice cream
Frosty
treats.
Paws.
Yeah, well. She won't eat them.
She won't eat them?
No.
Wow, I've never seen a dog not like those.
No, but ice cream. In fact, I gave her a little cup of ice cream.
Because those Frosty Paws aren't cheap.
No, but she wouldn't touch them.
Wow, that's weird.
She goes, this is not ice cream.
I mean, that black chow that we had, when just saying the word, we'd say Frosty Paw, and she'd go just crazy. She'd start going around in circles, and then she'd...
Never even heard of them.
And then she'd eat it, and then she'd have a little... She'd look like... what's his name from, you know, Silver and Gold? Who sang that? Burl Ives. She looked like Burl Ives. She had that little Burl Ives.
Burl Ives. He's looking at me. You know Burl Ives.
Well, you guys think Burl Ives would have filled up Kinnick in
no.
his day?
No.
What was Silver and Gold his big hit?
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Well, no, and there's something else. God, I don't. My Burl Ives memory is escaping.
Yeah, he had Rudolph and Silver and Gold.
Yeah, he had something else, too.
Yeah.
Well, he did, but I can't.
I remember when I was a little kid, that abominable snowman scared the crap out of me. And now you watch it now, and you're like, I mean, I was petrified of that thing when I was 5, 6 years old.
I believe it.
And then you have your brother telling you that it's underneath the bed or in the closet waiting for you to go to sleep.
Your family was mean.
You know... Jolly Holly Christmas.
Yeah. Holly, Jolly Christmas.
He probably made
we can sing that because I'm sure it's
no copyright.
Public domain. Yeah.
He probably made a lot of money on those three songs.
Oh, of course he did.
Yeah.
Was that all? What was he, an actor or was he a singer? What was Burl?
He was both.
He was both, an actor and a singer.
Yeah.
All right. I bet landing that Rudolph gig was probably pretty significant.
I would imagine.
Yeah. Was that like mid-60s that stuff came out?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we listened to him in music class.
I think we did too. I think we did too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our teacher was Grandpa Happy on Channel 4.
Don't recall. See, I didn't live around here, so I don't recall.
Yeah. So
Grandpa
so
Happy. I'm gonna. From the surface, it sounds a little creepy. Wouldn't you agree that?
I think so.
He was a nice guy.
I know, but just
see, I don't remember seeing him.
But what, can you see why I would maybe perceive?
I remember Marshall J, and I remember, of course, Dr. Igor.
Yeah.
Can you see though why I would maybe perceive a little creepiness with that title?
He was a very nice man.
What was his name again?
Good teacher.
What was his stage name?
Grandpa Happy.
And I didn't like Dr. Max.
Why didn't you like Dr. Max?
I didn't like Mambo.
I have no
idea.
You're
nasty.
We had Mambo on the show 2 weeks before. I had a lot of people 2 weeks before they died, and it just is weird to me.
Maybe that's why the cow cells didn't want to come on.
Honest to God.
It could be.
You know, a lot of people, just 2 weeks. Steve Allen.
Yeah.
Steve Allen kicked it off.
How old was he when you had him on?
70 or 80.
Okay,
it's
so
a good interview,
like,
though.
It's not like he was in his 40s and all of a sudden just dropped.
I couldn't believe he was out. He was ripping lyrics and everything. He was super conservative. And we had to submit a cassette tape of the station to him so that. And he accepted it. And he was great on here. I couldn't believe that he accepted. I said, no way in the world is this guy coming on this thing.
But he did.
Did you argue politics with him?
Huh?
Did you argue politics?
No, it wasn't. No. No, we had a huge career and everything. He was really nice. But then he died 2 weeks later. You know, I mean.
Do we have a call?
No.
They didn't hold.
They didn't hold while we were blabbing?
No, Steven.
It rang twice and then they were gone.
Oh, okay. All right. What was I going to say? Now I've lost my train of thought. The Steve Allen discussion. I'm not old enough to remember when Steve Allen, didn't he host the Tonight Show like in the 50s?
Yes, he did.
And then he hosted his own Tonight
in the
Show.
60s.
In the 60s.
Yeah, I mean, I was barely alive. I just don't remember. I remember he had black glasses and kind of looked like Clark Kent, didn't he?
I remember when he dumped popcorn on the audience. And
I'm old enough to remember the Carol Burnett Show. I mean, how she'd open up those, turn the lights on and answer questions from the
Carol Burnett was terrific.
She was funny. That show. The funnest part about that show was watching them laugh at themselves.
That really was one of the best shows ever.
Harvey Korman could not stop laughing at Tim Conway.
Well, when they put Tim Conway in there permanently.
It was great.
Tim Conway was great.
And Harvey Korman could not hold him. He could not stop laughing when they did skits together. Uh-uh. How about Mrs. Wiggins?
Mr. Tuttle.
Yeah, no, they were funny.
Chad said, sometimes you walk like Mr. Tuttle.
She was very talented. Is she still alive, Carol Burnett?
Yeah.
Okay, that's 90. Right. That's what I thought.
She is.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, she was. That's a part of growing up. I just remember, what night of the week was Carol Burnett show?
Saturday night.
That's what I thought. Okay, like 9 o'clock, right?
CBS.
Okay, that's you remember stuff like that. I remember.
I don't know why.
Maverick was on Sunday at 5, if I remember correctly.
Well, it originally was on Sundays.
Riverboat, ring your bills. Luck is the lady that he loves the best. Yeah, my dad loved that show.
Natchez it to New Orleans.
Yep.
My dad did too.
I love that show.
What was Sunday? And then wasn't the Disney thing was Sunday?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
The world is a carousel of
And then when was Wide World of Sports? Was that Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday.
Or was it
Saturday.
Just Sundays?
Saturdays at 3:30.
Okay, and they'd show that poor
Jim McKay.
They'd show that poor skier getting planted. The agony of defeat, and they show that same skier going down the loft and just.
That skier gave an interview once and said.
Because he survived, of course.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they would have showed it had he not survived.
You know, I had some.
Good jumps.
Had some victories, too. He was real funny. I can't remember.
You remember
what
we're talking about.
The ski jumper.
Yeah. The agony of defeat.
I can't remember what the hell. He might have been on Carson or something. I remember watching him getting interviewed. And he goes, you know, I had victories, too. He goes, that's all people will ever remember me for.
That is kind of interesting when you think about that. I mean, that was a huge show. I used to love watching that. I mean, they'd have anything from bowling to boxing to, I mean, all track and field, just tons of different stuff.
You know, the best bowling show I ever seen, Channel 15 in the Tumwa, that you can get here over the air.
Is that KTVO?
No, it's KYOU. And they had a local bowling show out of Ottumwa.
Sort of Des Moines with Zabel.
Yeah, well, these guys were drinking.
There you go.
They were smashed bowling. It was ridiculous. And it was on, like, I put an antenna on top of the TV to watch.
So the people bowling were drunk, or the people hosting the show were drunk?
Both.
Oh, so it was a bowling alley.
Yeah, they're just in a bowling alley, you know. And it starts off like a tournament, and then by the end of it, just screw it.
See, that would be kind of funny. Zabel had a bowl. I can't remember what it was called.
Let's
Go Bowling. Yeah, I mean, it was big. He did that, and he had to beat the bear. He had a lot of different things that he did.
Well, we had Let's Go to the Races.
Let's Go to the Races. Man, some weeks I'd have 50 of those cards. You know, you'd have a 12-length lead with just a little bit to go, and some nasty horse would come from behind and win.
Bob Brooks hosted
that. And I never won a nickel.
Didn't Bob Brooks host those?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, even in the Quad Cities, he was hosting that. Yeah. That's
Don't have shows like that anymore. Kind of miss them.
Yeah, because they were fun shows and you could play around. It's like Radio Bingo. Remember when we talked about Radio Bingo?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, we were going to get cards.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we did it, didn't we?
No.
Radio Bingo sounds boring.
This is how long we've been here. Jesus. No, we never did Radio Bingo.
That sounds kind of boring. Radio Bingo.
It is, but you get these cards in all these places and people listen like mad.
Well, and you also played Canon for a year and a half for an hour. And
people listened.
People apparently listened.
Yeah. People listened.
Did you listen to...
We found that people will listen to...
Listen to what?
When Canon was on, did you listen intently during that?
He did not care for it.
I know he did.
No, I didn't. I didn't get it.
He accepted it, but he just didn't understand it.
Listen. Yes. At first, right. I thought...
It's Mystery Science Theater.
Well, but then basically, we were getting people that, you know, like my... like this instructor at Ambrose, he planned his classes around listening to us.
He got fatter. He got fatter as the show.
I never liked the show to begin with,
so
I didn't embrace.
Yeah.
But you realize he got fatter as the show wore on.
Yeah,
he gained weight as Cannon.
Yeah,
he got bigger cannonball.
It was like the javelin thrower.
And they sometimes would make fun of his weight on the show, too. They'd make...
Well, and he would.
Yeah, he would, but I liked it when they... Well, it's some big fat guy with a mustache. Everyone knew it was Cannon. Yeah, what did our javelin guy say? He's gained, what, 30 pounds?
Yeah.
Didn't he say it was 65?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean...
I didn't think of that when you talk about throwing the javelin, your weight.
Well, I did, but, I mean... As a former pitcher, I can kind of relate. I mean,
but throwing the ball well over the left field fence to me seems amazing.
I could not well over, but I could come close. I mean, before I hurt my arm, I mean, I threw in the 80s. I mean, I remember getting clocked 84, 85. And but I lost arm strength, though, as I got. By the time I was a senior, I couldn't throw as hard as I could as a sophomore. And I'm not sure why. I hurt my shoulder my sophomore year.
Well, maybe that's why.
And I don't think I ever fully recovered. I never was able to throw. I was more three quarters afterwards, so I didn't have that plane. But, yeah, I could. I mean, I remember. And I loved doing what he taught, the long toss. I loved doing that. That was the best way to get warmed up before pitching a game. And I had a lot of arm issues. My arm would hurt after I pitched. Other guys could pitch 7 innings. 2 days later, they're fine. My arm would be in agony after I pitched.
Hello.
Cannon was svelte compared to what he became on Jake and the Fat Man.
Oh, did he get really big on that? See, I never watched it.
Yeah.
I never watched that show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, they obviously...
Enormous.
He was... Well, it was
he
called
was enormous.
It was called Jake and the Fat Man for a reason.
Yeah.
Which part did he play?
I think he played the Fat Man. I meant to ask you. I know you said you hated White Boy Rick, but what about Bruce Dern, though?
I won't say I hated it.
What about the performance of Bruce Dern? Did you like it when he was cooking breakfast in the wife beater, Bruce Dern?
Yeah.
An 85-year-old Bruce Dern.
Well, there were some moments that it was interesting.
Bruce Dern does a ton of movies now. Have you noticed that? He's in a ton of stuff. Yeah. I mean, that part he played in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah. It's a great part.
The part he played in White Boy Rick, I mean, it's interesting that he would play that part. No, I the movie itself, no, it was not it was not very good.
And
I
the just, kid wasn't
the
good.
The kid just, I don't get the casting. I thought Matthew O'Connor, I thought he played his part.
He was fine.
Yeah, he's a good actor.
And then
I thought the girl who played the sister, I thought she played her part great. But she's I saw her promoting that movie on a talk show. I mean, you would have never believed it was the same person. Whereas I saw the kid on a talk show, and he seemed like the same kid that, I don't know, it was weird that they would have a non-actor play such a prominent part in a movie.
We talked about this the other day, but I keep forgetting her name, that played the FBI agent.
Oh, Jennifer Jason Leigh.
Yes, Jennifer Jason
Leigh. Yeah, she was, first time I ever saw her was in Fast Times at Ridgemont High, and now she's playing an FBI agent in this movie. Fast Times, that came out, 1982, I believe?
My girls did not like Fast Times at Ridgemont High. They didn't get it.
It didn't work for me. I was not.
I liked it.
I thought it was okay. Yeah. I mean,
it was something to watch. Sometimes I think you expect too much out of.
Well, I didn't expect much from it, but I didn't get much out of it either.
You want to immerse yourself in it, and sometimes I just want to waste time. Is that safe?
Well, I don't
that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't like wasting time watching something I don't enjoy.
I enjoyed it.
I just didn't really enjoy it that much.
Yeah. But I mean, I'll watch stuff.
If I had to pick between White Boy Rick and Fast Times, I'm taking White Boy Rick.
You know, it's like when I watch
I don't know about that.
Formulaic TV shows. You know, yes, I know that for the most part, you know, there will be order after the law.
Uh-huh.
Now, on Water
Horse. A lot of people like that.
Water Horse was on Saturday. I happened just to stumble upon it. And sure enough, it was about 30 minutes into the movie. What did I spend the next hour hour and 50 watching the end of Water? That's just one of those I can't turn it off when it's on. Classic. Yeah. One of the best movies ever. And
that's real good movie.
And like I said, screenplay written by a graduate of the
Writer's
Workshop.
I can't believe my TV wasn't on yesterday.
Oh, my TV's not working.
At all?
No.
Why? What were you doing?
We went out to dinner, and then I was poisoned, and then I went home and I slept. And
so, what did you do prior to going out for dinner? Like all during the day, you started in the evening.
Well, the dinner was at 1 o'clock.
Oh, so you went out to lunch?
But it was dinner. Okay.
Well, when I heard dinner, I automatically thought 5, 6, 7 o'clock at night. Then I'm wondering what you did during the day. Who poisoned you?
He does. It was not a sponsor.
So you got poisoned, but you're already back now and seem fine.
Yeah.
So it was temporary poisoning.
I guess.
All right.
Well, first I thought it was what Ann had. And then I caught
Ann
a bug or something.
Four days.
Yeah, but she was sick all this time.
So did hers just come on right away, or was there a gradual?
A little bit gradual to start with.
No. Mine was. Boom.
Ann didn't have food poisoning. Yeah.
So you guys flew out there?
Yeah.
How was she on the flight out?
Fine.
And then after you landed?
And when we were there, she was fine on Monday night. Tuesday morning, she was tired. And then at lunch, she made it through half a piece of pizza and said, I can't do this. I got to go back.
And then it was just
and then that
lights
was,
out for
that
the next
was
couple
it
days.
Until
you left?
Until yesterday.
So she flew back miserable too?
Yeah, it's thoroughly miserable.
Wow, God, there's nothing worse than being sick on
and
an airplane.
And we took the back row.
Just in case.
Just in case, yeah. She was real sick.
Wow. And you're just assuming it was a virus of some sort?
Absolutely it was.
And last night for supper, at 9 o'clock after I woke up, I had a root beer float.
Oh. I haven't had one of those in 50 years. 60.
Like I've said before, I hate root beer. It tastes like gutter water.
Silly.
Yeah.
You're silly.
Root beer floats.
Root beer and vanilla ice cream is a good fit, though.
Never understood that one. root beer, it's right there with raisins and sour cream.
I don't like sour cream.
Olives, too. Olives, raisins, sour cream, and root beer.
I don't mind olives.
Oh, God.
I won't go out of my way to eat them, but I don't mind them.
Like, if there's olives on, like, a sandwich or a pizza, that's all I can taste, especially black olives.
That's how
that's
I am
all
with...
I can taste.
Dan loves black olives.
That's how I am with onions.
Yeah, and see, I love the... I can see that, too, but I love onions. No, I don't like onions on pizza.
Oh,
it's too dominating.
Onions on pizza.
It's all you can taste when you put onions on the pizza.
It ruins a pizza.
But, boy, I love onions on hamburgers. I love them in hash browns. And no, I like them on a lot of stuff, especially hash browns.
I like it on pizza.
No, no. Yeah.
No, sir.
With a big, tall glass of root beer.
I did a Ariza last night.
Okay, Rex.
I got Empress Chicken from Ariza last night, and Kevin actually delivered it.
Yeah.
He got it out. They got it to me within, like, probably.
Well, Ariza's got good food.
And it was still hot, and they got it to me within probably a half an hour. Yeah, I was going to get the grill going. I'm like, you know, I don't want to make pork chops. So I have you ever had their Empress Chicken?
No.
It's really good. It's sort of like General Tso's, but a little sweeter. It was really...
That would probably be a little bit too sweet for me.
It is sweet, but it's got a little spice to it, too.
General Tso's I like, but it's a little sweet, too.
Yeah, me. It's not quite... It's similar to General Tso's, but it's... But the... I don't know. It's just... It's got a little smoother texture to it, but no, it was good. It was good, so... It was nice.
We must be getting hungry.
I'm really not, but it's cool though to see the owner delivering on a Sunday night. Seven, that's how you do it. You know, it was Kevin, the guy who owns the place. Uh-huh. He was delivering.
Hey, the owner was out here working on equipment
at 7 o'clock last night. I thought you had poison
at 10 o'clock.
And you were poisoned.
And I was poisoned, but it had to be done.
And maybe it was the root beer float.
No, I was fine after that.
And then look, here you are plugging away, man. Yeah. You haven't lost a step.
Yeah, I've lost a lot of steps.
I'm going to check. Have you checked? See if there's any.
Let me see. Oh, yeah. Because they're doing police reports, so.
Well, I just know it just seems like Mondays, a lot of stuff.
Happens around 10, 15, 10:30.
Well, here, let me see if I can find that. Okay, here's rock history. Thoughts on this list. Who's missing? The 10 greatest guitarists of all time by Mirror Magazine. Number 1, Brian May. Number 2, Jimi Hendrix. Number 3, Eric Clapton. Number 4, Mark Knopfler. Number 5, Slash. Number 6, Jimmy Page. 7, Carlos Santana. 8, David Gilmour. 9, Keith Richards. 10, Dave Grohl. And then they asked who you would add. And I said, I think Terry Kath would deserve. And see, I have biased ones, too. Like, I know Tommy Bolin would, but he's one of my 10 favorite. And he was a great guitarist. But obviously, he didn't do enough, I don't think, over time to be in this group. But a lot of it's just...
part of that's personal.
One of the first responses from somebody, Eddie Van Halen, Prince, Jeff Beck, B.B. King, Muddy Waters, Pete Townsend. I mean, you could go on and on. There's Dwayne Allman, my buddy Don Murray. Huh? Have you ever heard of Steve Vai?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, his list is...
Steve Vai was a name that I was thinking of, in fact.
Who did you play with?
Wasn't he Steve Vai, wasn't he Journey?
No, that was Neil Schon.
Neil Schon, you're right.
Okay, but Don gave me Dwayne Allman, Steve Vai,
Dwayne Allman, absolutely.
Joe Satriani?
Really, really good.
Steve Morse?
That name I don't know.
Tommy Emmanuel?
I know the name, but...
Adrian Belew? Steve Howe?
Steve Vai played with Frank Zappa.
How about Warren Haynes?
Alcatraz, David Lee Roth, and Whitesnake.
Whitesnake, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, he was real good.
Have you heard of Warren Haynes?
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think he's in the current lineup of an Allman offshoot, I think.
Okay, that makes sense. But I just said Terry Kath without question, and a case could be made for Jerry Garcia. Obviously, I'm biased because I love the Dead music, but Jerry Garcia was a good guitarist. And I thought his sound was very... He was like Mark Knopfler. You hear Mark Knopfler play one or two chords, you knew it was Mark Knopfler. I think the same with... You could say that about the lot. You could say that about David Gilmour. I mean, a lot of guitarists, but especially Mark Knopfler. Dire Straits has some of the most noticeable music out there, sounds. Right when you hear it, you know it's them. At least that's how I interpret it.
Yes, I agree.
But yeah, this person had Brian May listed ahead of Jimi Hendrix. That's interesting. I think sometimes Jimi Hendrix gets the award just out of just pure mystique, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously he was a great guitarist, but he didn't play very long, and...
He was a trailblazer.
So what did he do that made him a trailblazer? What was he doing that others weren't doing?
Are we talking about Jimmy?
Yeah.
His use of the whammy bar was number one.
Okay.
It was probably...
Nobody really had done that prior to that?
Not really.
Okay.
Not really.
You know, what I did get a chance to interview Brian May, and I think at the time I was thinking, and I'm still thinking, I was just too stupid to interview him. I mean, thank God he took over. He took over the interview.
No, he's incredible. He's incredible. He's like Jeff Skunk Baxter.
Oh yeah,
you just put those two together, you might be able to solve the world's problems. Honestly. Yeah, no, he's incredible.
Yeah,
and he still seems pretty fluent today.
He was real down to earth and everything, and I mean, he really didn't. He talked about Queen a little bit. But then he goes, I'm working on this project, you know, with NASA. And he goes into that. And I'm just like, okay. And I mean, you know, half of this
And you
stuff
felt dumber every second?
Yes, I really did. Because I'm trying to think, well, what can I ask him? So when you, all that fume, the flames that come out of the rockets, that's pretty hot, isn't it?
What you could have asked him, you know, what are you going to do to fill up Kinnick Stadium? Who are you going to get?
Did you ask him about Freddie's cats? You could have asked him about Freddie's cat. Did you talk at all about Freddie Mercury?
He touched on it.
Okay.
He said when it was like, but he didn't really. No, he was more concentrated on NASA and stuff.
Queen was 50 years ago.
Yeah, he was really fast. I mean, it was fascinating, but I didn't know half of the crap he was talking about. You know, but he did, and hopefully somebody out there did.
I mean, Queen in their heyday would have definitely filled Kinnick Stadium.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I could see Freddie performing at Kinnick, you know, the crowd going nuts.
What about outfield?
The outfield?
Yeah.
I don't know. In their prime?
Josie's own game.
No, I think the outfield would have gotten maybe 20,000 at Kinnick Stadium.
No, they wouldn't.
In their prime?
No.
Not even 20?
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
10?
Five.
Okay, that Josie song was played a lot.
We could be selling them short.
That Josie song,
I just brought it up for...
I'm guessing you beat that Josie song to death, didn't you?
I still will.
You still play it, don't you?
Yeah.
My guess is it'll be the first song after this show.
Yeah.
What do you got going? What?
We've got half of the other spot cluster left. So.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen any.
Nothing new, Hawksway.
Yeah. When was the last time you were on the message board, Stone?
Last night.
What was the talk?
Nothing. Nothing really. I mean, there's not. It's a little bitching about the baseball team.
Yeah, they're still going to make the tournament. But that's the problem. When you're picked to win it and you're the only team ranked, there comes an expectation and a responsibility. And they did not meet that, but they could. It would not surprise me at all if Iowa ran the table in the Big Ten tournament and won it.
No.
It really wouldn't. I think there's five or six teams that could win it.
I mean, if we had Peterson and Kyle.
Oh, that would definitely help.
Then I would say we'd have a good chance. I'm not sure that
I just don't think they have enough firepower. I just don't think they have enough right now. Those two injuries, even with those guys, it would be a tall.
And the pitching has been.
Brody can't pitch every game. You know, so.
No.
And I believe, you know, enjoy Brody while you can because there's no way
he's going to be making millions next year.
Speaking of this, before we. Tommy printed out Yahoo Sports. They have the Washington Wizards taking. Sanford, 26th overall.
Wow.
Sanford has a fluid shot that translates well and is consistent in his two dribble pull-up shot off screens. As scouts go back and watch film from and hone in on players who can move well off the ball and be productive on offense and defense, Sanford stands out. I can see that. He does move well.
So that's first round, isn't
it? Yes. He's an intriguing player who could play himself into the first round if he elects to participate in scrimmages during the draft combine, which my guess is he will.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he's just going to go all out and see what happens because he's probably saying to himself, I have nothing to lose. The worst case scenario, I'm coming back to be a Hawkeye
for my brother.
Year.
Yep.
Yeah. Play with my brother.
Did you guys see the Cooper DeJean videos that have come out of him dunking the ball in high school?
Yes.
I mean, they've been all over for the last couple of years.
Is this game really going to take place between him and Caitlin?
I don't think so.
I doubt that. Yeah, I think they're just having fun.
They could raise a lot of money for charity if they want.
Well, they could.
They could, but they could also both get hurt.
Now, they would have to outlaw dunks or else Caitlin would lose, you know, 1,000-0.
Well, they could also both get hurt, too. I would be surprised if they did something. It is fun to hear him talk about it, though.
But they would have to outlaw dunks.
And did you watch the full court press at all?
Yeah, I've seen the first two episodes.
I watched the parts with Caitlin. I watched some of the parts with the others, but I changed the channel at times too then. But
I guess what's the most fascinating to me is Camila Cardozo comes from abject poverty. Mm-hmm. Caitlin comes from basically middle class Midwest. Mm-hmm. And then Kiki Rice is kind of more of a silver spoon.
East Coast.
East Coast, Midwest, West Coast also. But Kiki Rice is
What's her dad?
Pretty affluent.
What's her dad do?
Well, I'm not positive, but they're pretty affluent.
How do you know that? I mean, not...
Just even watching that.
Well, I did watch it.
And her mom's was a high level political pundit.
Okay. Now, I will say, I know Caitlin's probably... very middle class. Her family's not hurting at all.
No, I understand.
I mean, her mom was very successful, and her dad, all those Nizzy girls, they all were very successful. Yeah, Caitlin lives in a nice area in West Des Moines. She's doing, her family's, I'm not saying they're wealthy beyond, but they're pretty well-to-do, whereas Cardoza, her story is completely different.
Just abject poverty.
Yeah, she's basically playing now to get her mom, so her mom doesn't have to work at that spice shop like uh-huh. she did every day. It's a cool story. All three of them were different. Cardoza's story is probably the most inspirational because of what
amazing.
She had to overcome.
Mm-hmm.
She came here at 14 or 15, didn't know the language. And, I mean, she's probably already a little subconscious being a girl and being so much taller than everybody. But, man, she's made it work.
Mom calls her my giant.
Yeah. But, no, it was – did you see the parts with Caitlin and Connor at the Dandelion? Did you see
yes.
that part?
Yes.
And have you eaten at the Dandelion?
Yeah, I sure have. It was really good.
Okay, so – and – And they did that on January 14th. That was right in the middle of that 2 weeks from hell. Remember that? Because you
yes.
see, when they're walking up, Caitlin says, I can't feel my face. And then Connor's like, oh, we're soft. You know, they're talking about the weather.
Uh-huh.
But it was brutal during that
two-week
stretch.
It was. All right.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. But, hey, thanks again, Mike Stein, for coming on. Thanks,
yep.
Matt Weitzel, for
yep.
helping to organize that in quick fashion like that. Appreciate it. And it was fun. I enjoyed talking.
No,
I enjoyed doing those.
Too.
And I told you guys, we're going to start doing interviews.
And he enjoyed it.
I could tell he enjoyed it. And I think
and
he appreciated it. Yeah, he was interesting. And we're going to start, once school starts again in August, on Wednesdays, I've been working with this with Iowa. They're going to start making a student-athlete available as for a special interview. And sometimes it'll be football, maybe, but it's not going to just be every week the star. We're going to get people from all different sports during the fall, whatever, just so... And we're going to start doing that in August, and it'll be like a Hawkeye Spotlight type thing we can add to the morning
show. That'll
be
good.
Hello.
Good morning, Pat Hardy, Tom Sitter.
I thought...
And Captain Steve.
I don't care.
It's Southern Justin.
You've given up?
Well, hi, Southern Justin.
He's given up. See, you guys have waited out, Captain, and now you're winning.
Guess what?
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 School year's almost done, Pat Hardy.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is.
Yeah, Pat Hardy.
Okay, you say that as though it's my fault.
I think it is.
Give Southern Justin some slack, you know.
Yeah, so it got, about two more weeks of menus, and then you're taking the summer off?
Yep, to the 31st.
Yeah. Huh? All right, well, I don't know what we're going to do without it.
Yeah. What happens if Jennifer kills you during the summer?
I hope she doesn't kill me.
We hope so too.
Yeah.
Most of us.
So
we can't speak for Hunter.
Yeah.
No, we can't.
No, we don't know where he falls on this.
She might use a special tool, a knife.
Yeah.
Anyways.
I wanted it to go a little longer.
All right.
No, let it.
So.
Let's keep stumbling. So, this is where the listeners are like, okay, what's going on? Why don't they?
Any boom boom?
No, we don't need to go there.
No boom boom.
We don't need to go there. Seriously.
Well,
all right, what are they
too
eating?
Late.
What are they eating? Just get it on. Get going.
Well, today for the city high school, they're having beef Italian dunkers.
Sounds
with
delicious.
Cheese and breadsticks.
That sounds delicious.
With peas and breadsticks.
Cheese.
Cheese.
Cheese
okay.
and breadsticks.
Okay, my bad.
Yeah, that
get
sounds
it,
delicious.
Get it right, Hardy. Damn it, Hardy.
Penny buttered garlic.
Yum. Yeah. Sounds delicious.
I like the nickel buttered garlic myself. But
it's more expensive, though.
Yeah.
Tri-tater.
I like cherry, all three.
Cherry tomatoes, banana.
I like cherry tomatoes. Do not like bananas.
Scrambled eggs with bacon and cheese.
Yum.
Wow.
No boom boom.
You're waffle, mixing it with food.
Waffle blueberries.
Yum.
And today for the Regina Catholic School, they're having today corn dog bites.
Yuck. Poor Regina bold, kids.
Poor Catholics.
Bold baked beans with fruit.
This Catholic persecution has to stop.
Corn dog bites. Hmm. Today for the Burlington Iowa schools, we're all having corn dog, seasoned potato cubes, baby carrots, and diced peaches. Ugh. That's lunch menus on Hawks Fanatics on the Mighty 1630.
When are those carrots going to grow up, though?
I don't know. They need to. Maybe the corn dogs will help them grow up.
Boom boom at all.
No.
No boom not boom at all.
No boom boom at all.
Never know. That could be the next Southern Justin song of the week.
Yeah, it'd be a good one. All right.
Well, you guys have a good day today.
No, you have a good day.
I will.
All right. And with that, police reports and commercials, and then the Molly Suter show
really
coming
wears
up.
Me
so
out.
What if that track guy is still listening?
He's saying, "What is this?"
God, Mom, I'm sorry.
I was on that show.
I think his mom started following me on Twitter last night, and they're probably like, "What? What the hell?
What is this show that we're listening to?
Three old farts and a weirdo."
I just worry about my banker listening.
All right. All right, police reports coming up. HawkFanatic.com. Check it out. It's free.